From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo. Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1. Also Lisbon and Fargo and 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot. While the Department of Agriculture yesterday announced payments to farmers enrolled in safety net programs due to market turndowns or downturns during the 2015 crop year. USDA says many of the 1.7 million farms enrolled in either the Ag Risk Coverage or Price Loss Coverage programs will receive payments. USDA will issue more than $7 billion in payments, which USDA says is more than 10% of the projected 2016 net farm income. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the payments will provide reassurance to farmers who are standing strong against low commodity prices. Now, unlike the old direct payment program, which issued payments during both weak and strong market conditions, the 2014 Farm Bill authorized the ARC-PLC safety net to trigger and provide financial assistance only when decreases in revenues or crop prices respectively occur. Well, we're going to take a break here. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about World Dairy Expo that's going on in Madison, Wisconsin. Also, we're going back to Washington, D.C. Ag Senator Chuck Grassley, you've never heard of him. We're talking about the 2014 Farm Bill possibly going into what they might say, goodbye, see ya, sayonara, tomorrow. But actually, 2019 is when the next Farm Bill is supposed to take effect. We're shooting for 2018. That's next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Wednesday morning. Well, as we mentioned before we took the break, a longtime ag senator says huge crop surpluses and low prices have boosted the odds of a year-early rewrite of the 2014 Farm Bill. Ag leaders and producers have argued for an early Farm Bill for weeks, pointing to the flaws in the existing farm safety net. Longtime GOP Ag Senator Chuck Grassley agrees that there's a need for urgency.
When we get back to Washington, we're going to be hearing a lot of stress from farmers that are having trouble getting a refinance for the new crop year. And I think you're going to have, instead of dealing with a 2019 Farm Bill, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about we got to get a new Farm Bill passed in 2017, preempt the 2018 fifth year of the 2014 Farm Bill, and get a new Farm Bill started a year early.
Now, as for dealing with farm problems in 2017, Grassley says,
we won't have time to make much difference for next year, except to make sure that the farm loan programs have plenty of money available for farmers that can't finance through normal financing, or bankers that are demanding a loan guarantee.
Grassley says there's not enough time to get a farm bill done before farmers plant a crop next year, meaning any new bill would apply to 2018. But help cannot come soon enough for agriculture. Net farm income is down some $30 billion or more since 2013 as prices fall well below the cost of production. Now, Grassley predicts lawmakers will be deeply into discussing the next farm bill within the next 6 or 7 months. Now, remember, it was supposed to be a 2012 farm bill back in 2012. That turned out to be a 2014 farm bill. Now, the 2019 farm bill, they're going to try to make the 2018 farm bill. So we'll see exactly how that turns out. Now, there's also other issues going on. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association and more than 3,800 organizations sent a letter to Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew asking for withdrawal of the newly proposed estate tax regulations by the Department of Treasury. Now, Danielle Beck, NCBA Director of Government Affairs, says the proposed regulations under Section 2704 of the Internal Revenue Code would permanently change estate planning for families that own a controlling interest in a privately held entity, such as a farm or ranch. Beck says the proposal would eliminate or greatly reduce available valuation discounts for family-related entities, which in turn increases the tax associated with common transfers, including inheritance.
In August, the IRS issued proposed rules that would eliminate valuation discount planning and increase the estate tax and gift taxes by 30% or more on family-owned businesses. And ultimately, the bottom line, all you need to know is this would result in fewer family businesses surviving from one generation to the next.
Now, Beck says Congress already sprang into action to fight against the estate tax rules with legislation in both the Senate and the House.
Representative Davidson, who's fairly new, he took over John Boehner's seat. He introduced a bill almost immediately. It's H.R. 6100, and that would prevent IRS from moving forward with the regulations. And there are already 60 co-sponsors for that bill. And this past week, the Senate followed suit. Senators Rubio, Moran, and Flake introduced S-3436, and it's the exact same language as the bill.
She says the Senate and House Republicans have also signed on to the letter to the Treasury Secretary with their opposition to the proposed regulations.
Senator Stoon, Hatch, and then 39 other Republican senators, so 41 in total, sent a letter to the IRS also requesting that they withdraw their proposed regulation. The House is working on a similar letter right now, so we're hoping that, you know, by weekend we'll have a good idea of what that looks like and who's agreed to sign on.
And, of course, another issue for the farm. We'll be back to talk about World Pork Expo after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, as we mentioned earlier in the program, World Dairy Expo is underway in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, the expo began celebrating 50 years. Wisconsin Agriculture Secretary Ben Bransel says World Dairy Expo has grown substantially since the first expo, which was actually 50 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. 50 years in the making. I remember the very first one. I was a junior in high school, and I came to it. I drove down here with a friend from high school, and then actually ended up buying a heifer calf on the sale here at World Dairy Expo. But I can tell you, it was nothing like it is today. If a high schooler comes to buy a heifer calf here, they'll have RoboBank behind them, because it is a world event, world participation. The cattle and the genetics have improved tremendously, but there's so much to see here and so many people to interact with. It's just unbelievable what it's grown into.
Now, he says attendees to World Dairy Expo travel from all over the world.
Oh, yeah, they come from all over the world to see what Wisconsin has and to get a chance to really learn about dairying as we do it here, so that they can take home some new information to improve themselves. I'll be having lunch with Secretary Padilla from Mexico on the grounds here. I'm meeting with the Ethiopians at an event in our agency. I'll be in the Concourse Hotel today, and I'll be meeting with the Consulate General of Argentina. I'll be meeting with seven individuals that are buyers from seven other countries. I'll have lunch with them from Arab Emirates, Japan, Malaysia. But that's what it's all about. It's to make available for the people that come here what their interest is and be able to fill that interest for them.
So. Now, World Dairy Expo comes at a time this year as Wisconsin agriculture is battling a glut of rain over the last month. Says the Wisconsin Ag Department is working with farmers needing help.
I am a little surprised we got in as much corn silage as we did during that rainy spell. But yes, we have some challenges with our soybeans. We've had some soybeans that are tipping, corn that's standing in water, some mold concerns out there. So when you're harvesting, make sure you're monitoring the quality of your product. We are working with individual farms that call our farm center and try to find the specific help they're looking for and try to do the best we can to help them through this difficult time.
Now, World Dairy Expo, now if you're going, gee whiz, I forgot about Dairy Expo. It's going on now in Wisconsin. You still have time to get there. Doesn't end until this Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to take a break here. And guess what? We're going to stay in Madison, Wisconsin, but we're going to talk about what's going on with the price of milk. Definitely not a good thing for dairy farmers. That's up next. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Wednesday morning, hopefully everybody gets an opportunity, especially in the Minot area, to get out in the field, get some harvesting done later today. And you never know, in our part of the world, depending on how that wind picks up and dries things out, could happen here as well. Now, one market analyst calls the dairy market action this year a perfect storm. Mike North is president of the Commodity Risk Management Group. North says the market action relates back to the adage that markets go up and markets go down.
And as we came into the summer, we saw the perfect storm of this perceived shortage in barrel cheese specifically, followed by some panic buying and buyers coming to the market who were much more lax in the weeks that led up to that. And then on top of that, you got a little bit of a speculative bid in the market that just carried it away. And so as we got into the months of June and July and into August, there was this revival of the spirit, and we saw great moods and good attitudes as we looked at the end of the year. And in classic market formation, prices went up to $18, winked, turned around, and ran back to 15, and now even below 15. The bottom line is markets change. It's what they do best.
And for producers who took advantage of the summer increase, he says they should be in a better position than farmers who failed to look or lock in those prices.
Really, we lost that enthusiasm really quick as we came into the summer. Buyers saw cheese move to 180. You know, we had butter prices up to 220, 230, and that really took the buyers out of the equation. And whenever you lose your buyer, you lose your market. And so now that market has evaporated, and we're back to a place where we're just hoping that there's some value bidding. There's some retailers out there looking to pick up some extra product for any sort of specials they might be running. And end of day, that's not likely to come. And so we're not so optimistic that we're going to get that bid as we come into October, November.
At this point, when it comes to marketing strategies, North explains what producers need to do.
With low beef prices, dairymen do not want to cull cows right now. We have an abundant supply of forages, especially in the upper Midwest, putting more in as we speak. Great year for feed. There'll be a lot more milk production coming out of these cows and a lot more cows on the ground. So we're looking for big production and 15-60 prices in the first half, while not great, are better than 13-50. And so that's our message to our clients. Do something to protect yourself against the 1350. Give yourself some openness to prices, say, in that 16, 17, 17 and a half corridor. But don't lose sight of the fact that we were just at 13 and a half 6 months ago, and we could go back there 6 months from now.
That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.